Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered into the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Your friends in Christ Jesus, before I get started, had a little situation come up. A lady who was in the early service came to us just before church and said that she left her clutch in here when she was sitting. She sat over here on this side, but she stopped to talk to somebody over there. Her clutch was a little black clutch, her phone and her billfold are in there. So she was really concerned. Would you take a look and see if it's laying there by you someplace at all? April Fools, I got you. You knew I had to do that, didn't you? April Fools. Caught a few. His voice cut through my sleep. I could hear my dad standing at the bottom of the base of the upstairs, the stairway, and I heard him say this. He said, Bruce, come quick. There's a big buck standing out here behind the garden in the bean field. Hurry up and come down. You got to see him. Jumped out of bed, ran down the stairs, ran to the window, looked out there, and I saw nothing. And then from behind me, I heard Dad say, April Fools. And it wouldn't be so sad, except the next year, he was standing at the stairway. Bruce, come quick. There's two foxes running around out here behind the garden in the bean field. And I got up and ran down and the same thing. You would have thought I would have known. April Fools. You know, on Friday night, when the sun went down, everybody thought it was finished. Oh, Jesus had said that from the cross, it is finished, but all those people had no idea what he was talking about because they thought to themselves on Friday evening, it is finished. Better yet, he is finished. They had taken care of this Nazarene problem that they had. They had brought Jesus to trial. They had condemned him. They had beat him. They had nailed him to a cross. And they had watched him as his life's blood ebbed from him. They saw his lifeless body speared with a spear and hauled down and laid in a tomb and a big stone rolled in front of the place, and it is finished. Their Nazarene problem is over. Their Jesus problem is at an end. Jesus is dead. His opponents, his enemies, even his friends and his family, they believe that on Friday night, he was finished. And that they would never see him alive again. His opponents said, good, we got that thing behind us. His friends hid themselves in an upper room filled with fear and trepidation because they were afraid they were the next on the target list. They thought no more Nazarene. They thought no more Jesus. St. Paul says to us in our epistle lesson today, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Jesus died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. Easter morning says, April Fools, to all the people who thought they had gotten rid of Jesus of Nazareth. He was dead, but he's alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yeah, even his friends and his family were April Fools. They saw Jesus brought down from that cross. The ladies saw where Jesus was laid. The disciples have already hidden themselves away in an upper room, locked the doors, closed the blinds. They're sitting in there filled with a darkness and a blackness, thinking to themselves that their friend, their master, the one they love, Jesus, is dead, and that they had all failed him when it came down to it. They're hiding, filled with fear. And even though he had told them repeatedly that the Son of Man must rise again, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe his words. They didn't recognize what he had been telling them. And on that Easter morning, when the women come running to them all breathless, and they say, "We went to the tomb and it's empty. Jesus is not there. An angel told us he is risen." What did they say about those women's message? It sounded to them like nonsense. And the worst of the bunch is Thomas, because that evening, after the others have seen Jesus and handled Jesus and touched Jesus and heard Jesus, Thomas says, "Unless I can put my fingers in the wounds and reach out my hand and touch his side, I will not believe it." These are his friends. These are the ones that he's been teaching. These are the ones that should have known. They should have been there on Easter morning. They should have been standing outside that tomb when the sun came up. They should have been ready. But they weren't, because they were April fools. And then there are his enemies. Who should we start with? How about we start with the guards and the executioners? When those executioners finished with Jesus, they could guarantee and certify to Pilate, he is dead. You know that Roman executioners had 1,000 batting average when it came to killing you. There was a reason for that. Because if you were under their charge and they were detailed to execute you, if they ever let somebody get away, they would have to take that place. And so, you trust me when I tell you, they made daggone sure you were dead. If they didn't break your legs to suffocate you, they took a spear and stuck it into your heart sack, your pleural sack, to make sure that you weren't faking it. And so when they took that Nazarene off that cross, they could certify, he's dead as a doornail. That's the end of him. Oh, and the guards, they probably groused and grumbled, wondering what kind of detail they were pulling. They probably never had a detail quite like that. Stand around and guard a dead Jew inside of a tomb. Sounded like an exciting night. It became more exciting than they ever knew, because they heard that stone roll away, and then there was some shining visage that stood there, and in that vision, they were absolutely overcome with fear. And understand, these were not some weaklings. These were not some guardsmen who were called to service over the weekend. These were hardened soldiers. They'd seen death up close. But when they saw that angel, they were overcome. And Jesus comes alive out of that tomb, and they are April fools. How about Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate made a big show of washing his hands on Friday morning. "I am not guilty of the blood of this innocent man." Oh, the heck you aren't. You were the man that had the authority to let Jesus go, and you wouldn't do it because you were afraid. And so you just let them do what they wanted to do. They took him away and they crucified him. And you made sure you got that death certification. That centurion came and said, "Yes, sir, Nazarene is dead." And you thought, "Good, I got that thing out of my way." Pontius Pilate, whose wife said, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man," didn't listen to her, knuckled under and gave him into their hands. And now he turns out to be an April fool. And how about Caiaphas and company? The whole Sanhedrin, the elders, the teachers of the law, they've all been opposed to this Jesus of Nazareth for months and months and months. And as each day went by, they said to themselves more and more, "This guy is a problem. We got to get rid of him." And now they had cooked up the perfect scenario. They found reason to condemn him, handed him over to the Romans, and cajoled Pilate into doing what they wanted. Now they said, "It's all over. Jesus is dead. No more Nazarene, no more Jesus, no more Jesus' disciples. This thing's going to die of its own accord." Imagine how they felt when they got word. The tomb of the Nazarene is empty. When those soldiers came and said, "We saw a vision, and the stone was rolled away, and a bright light came out, and now the tomb is empty. We don't know where he went." And it turns out that Caiaphas and company, they're April fools. Their problem with Jesus is just beginning. Their problem with Christianity is just at the start. They are April fools. And how about Satan himself? Do you not think that on Good Friday, when Jesus gave up his spirit, do you not think that there was such a rousing howl in hell, such an outpouring of excitement and of demonic joy, because Satan had pulled his greatest evil ever? The Son of Man is dead. The Son of God is dead. He thought to himself he had worked the most marvelous evil in the history of the universe. And he had. Imagine how he felt when he gets his first report that that tomb is open and empty. And then imagine his consternation when he sees before his own eyes Jesus having descended to hell, not to come and suffer, not to come as punishment, but Jesus, the victorious Christ, who comes before the gates of hell so that all of Satan's minions can see, "I am alive. I am whole. I am the victorious Christ." There must have been a howl out of Satan and a stomping of his hoofs, because he suddenly realizes that the very greatest evil he's ever accomplished, God has turned around and made into the greatest good for the greatest number of people in the history of the world. Even Satan is an April fool. You know that it was bound to happen, right? Did you see that earlier this week a sheriff in Pennsylvania put out a all-points bulletin for Punxsutawney Phil? Put out wanted posters, dead or alive, Punxsutawney Phil. Because Punxsutawney Phil said we'd have 6 more weeks of winter, and he's a big old fat liar. We're still having winter. And so the sheriff said he wanted him dead or alive. Did you hear what happened yesterday? They caught up to Punxsutawney Phil. He was trying to cross the border in, I guess it was in northwestern Vermont. He was trying to cross into Canada, and they caught him at the border. And after a shootout, he's dead. April fools. April fools. Guess what? April fools are still with us today. There are still enemies of Jesus who are still April fools. They try to explain away what the scriptures so clearly delay. They try to speak it off. They try to come up with reasons and ways that it might have been. You know, and the first one was the old rag. Oh, the disciples came and stole the body away. Really. These disciples, who by their own admission are hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews, these disciples who weren't there on Easter morning to start with, these disciples, they came out in darkness. They came to the tomb surrounded by a guard. Somehow they managed to unseal that stone, roll that big old rock away without making any noise. You ever try to roll a rock on rock? It makes all kinds of racket. No, they came and they opened that up. And then once they got access to the tomb, they went in and they unwrapped Jesus' body, because we're told that the burial cloths were there, neatly folded them up yet, and then quietly shouldered Jesus' body and snuck out of there, and nobody ever saw. Come on. Come on. That doesn't even begin to address all the problems with that one. Oh, and then there's this other one. Just heard it recently again. Jesus really wasn't dead when he went into that tomb. And while he was in the coolness of the tomb, he was revived. Really? You heard what I said about the batting average of Roman executioners, right? And we have all the details right there in the scriptures. They made sure that when Jesus came off that cross, he was dead. D-E-A-D, dead. And dead people don't revive just because it's cool in the grave. Now, that one doesn't hold any water either. Oh, I just read one recently I hadn't heard in a long time. The women went to the wrong tomb. You know, women, they don't have any really good sense of direction anyway, and their GPS was off that day, and so they had to go back by memory. And, well, in the morning when they came in, it was sort of dark yet, you know. And, you know, after all, one tomb looks like another one, and they just wound up at the wrong tomb, and it was an empty tomb, and the tomb where Jesus was laying was about a block away. And, oh, come on. Come on. April Fool's on them, too. How far do you have to stretch it? Oh, and then there's this one. The disciples had a group hallucination, and as they were talking about Jesus, they all together remembered what he had said, and he became real amongst them. Group hallucinations are about as rare as teeth on chicken hens. They don't happen. There's no evidence that they ever happen. And a group hallucination. Wait a minute. Every one of these guys, every one of them, claimed that Jesus came alive bodily out of that tomb, that that tomb was empty, and that they saw Jesus, touched Jesus, talked to Jesus, listened to Jesus, saw Jesus eat. And they were willing to die grisly martyr death in order to hold to that lie. Somebody wrote and said, martyrs, liars make terrible martyrs. You don't die for something that you know is a lie. Well, you can be confused and die over the confusion, but if you're the one that originates the lie, you don't willingly go to death for that. Now, April Fool's on them. April Fool's all around. Because you and I are here today to celebrate what we know to be the fact. What we know occurred on that morning. That Jesus Christ came alive out of that tomb. That he showed himself alive to Satan and all of his minions. And then showed himself alive to Mary Magdalene. To the two women on the way back to the tomb. That evening shows himself to the 10. And on the following week shows himself to the 11. That shows up at the Sea of Galilee a few days after that. It is Jesus alive and well. It is Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. And it is because Jesus lives that you and I celebrate today. Not so much that Jesus lives, but we celebrate the fact that because Jesus lives, you and I are also going to live. And that means for those of us who have been bereaved, in these last months, this last year, in these last 10 years, all of us who have lost loved ones, and that includes us all, that those who fell asleep in Jesus Christ are not lost to us, but that we're going to see them again. That is our hope. That is our promise. That is what you and I celebrate with every Easter hymn, that Jesus lives, and because he lives, we're going to live also. On this gospel, St. Paul says, you have taken your stand. And by this gospel, you are saved. That's what St. Paul proclaimed today. That's what St. Mark proclaimed today. That's what John proclaims. That's what Matthew proclaims. That's what they all proclaimed. That Jesus Christ died. And was really dead. And then on Easter morning, Jesus Christ lived again. And lives now to all eternity. And because he lives, we will live also. Who are the April Fools? They're the ones that don't see Jesus alive. Not you and me. Pastor Woods and I talked this morning, and in the spirit of sportsmanship, we're asking all of you tomorrow evening to root for Villanova. April Fools, all right? April Fools, we want you to root for the best team, and of course, that's the Michigan Wolverines. No fooling. And you know what? Aside from all that, what I want you to celebrate today is the resurrection of the one who said, "Now, because I live, you will live also." No fooling. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.